Morning, if you have your Bible, I'd invite you to turn over there with me. I'm going to try to do a little. I said last week, I started something last week that I knew was going to take probably a couple of Sundays to get through, and I'm going to kind of recap just a little bit. A lot of people here this morning wasn't here last week. But I started a message, started a little series last week of when God gives up on people. I think the Bible's clear that there's three distinct times or three distinct things that can go on in a person's life, in a believer's life, when God gives up on them. Now, understand, we're talking about believers in what we're talking about here. Today, we're talking in Psalms 81 about the nation of Israel. And with the nation of Israel, see, that's God's chosen people there. So, we have to understand that with God's chosen people, they are definitely His youngins. Amen? And we're in that bunch today. We're not Israelites. We're not Jews. But we are God's people. If you're saved, you're God's people. And I heard a preacher saying on the TV this morning that we're all God's children. Well, we're not all God's children. We're all God's creation. But if you're not saved, you're not one of God's children. You're part of His creation. But Psalms 81, let's look here with me. It's just a few verses. We'll read it all to kind of bring you up to speed here. It says, "Sing aloud unto God our strength, make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob." That's what we've been doing this morning. "Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed for our solemn feast day. For this was a statute of Israel, and a law of the God of Jacob. This be ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me." God is begging Israel to listen to what He's trying to tell them. It says, "There shall no strange God be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange God. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it." Look at verse 11 now, very carefully. "But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me." In other words, Israel, my people, my children, they wouldn't listen to me, and they wouldn't have nothing to do with me. We're together so far. Amen. Verse number 12 says, "So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies, and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto Him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock, should I have sustained or satisfied thee." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, we thank You today. Lord, I believe You're moving among our midst today. And Lord, I believe You're going to help some folks today with whatever the need may be. Lord, I pray as I enter into this part of the service, I understand how important it is for me to yield myself to You and let You use me. Now, Lord, use me, I pray, to accomplish what You would have accomplished in this place today. Lord, give us the courage that we might respond accordingly at the appropriate time. And what You do, we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. As we see right here, the psalmist starts off talking about how God's worthy to be praised. I believe we serve a God today that is worthy of all of our praise, don't you? I believe we ought to sing. I enjoy good singing. I don't think that's all it is to come to church. I think we ought to have some meat in here somewhere. But I think the singing is like, remember I used the illustration last week of getting a gallon of paint in the store, and when you open that paint up, it's all separated, and the slimy stuff's on top and the good stuff's on the bottom. And when you buy that gallon of paint, they put it in a thing called an agitator. Now, everything that paint needs to be paint's already in a can. but it needs to be agitated in order for it to all get mixed together so it can really accomplish what it's supposed to accomplish. And that's what God does in the believer's life. You're saved if you're saved. The Holy Spirit has taken up an abode within your life, and you just need, you've become stagnant, you've not been separated from God, but God doesn't quite have you where He wants you to be at your full potential yet, so you got to go through the agitator. Amen. You say, I know the agitator, I married the agitator. No, an agitator is what the Holy Spirit does, and a lot of times He accomplishes it through singing, and a lot of times He accomplishes it through preaching, and a lot of times He accomplishes it through prayer, and you reading your Bible, and the Holy Spirit will begin to mend you and blend you and make you everything that God wants you to be. That's what David said. He said that our people should submit themselves to the agitator and let God use us to be everything that we should be. We should blow up the trumpet. In other words, we ought to want to praise God so much I know this crowd down there in Durham, I know that's a bunch of contemporary rock mess and all that stuff where they got the noise complaint. But what would it be if our neighbors complained about there be so much shouting going on over here that they filed a noise complaint on us? Wouldn't that be something, is right? People used to tell me, I put something in the bulletin this week about remember the old days of the fourth when the meal had closed. People used to tell me about the men going up on the Hillsborough Mountain and praying, and you could hear them down in the Mill Hill. You could hear them all the way down. And what happened to those days? That's the same God today, isn't it? We have so many distractions these days we're living in. I believe that's part of our problem. I ain't going to get into all of that, but I believe I've kind of got on. I'm trying not to get on a hobby horse. I'm trying not to get off on a kick about where the church is as compared to where the church used to be. But I think we need to address that. But we see here that David said, he said we ought to be praising God. And then God goes on to say how He's delivered them. He's kind of pretty much stating his case. If you can imagine in your mind like an attorney, that the trial's been had, now they're having what they call the closing arguments, and each attorney has their chance to try to kind of summarize everything and present it to the jury and let the jury decide what they're going to do. And that's what God's doing here. David said we should praise God. And then God comes on the scene and He said, I delivered you. He said, I brought you out of Egypt. He said, I remembered you. Joseph, when they took you into a land where you couldn't even speak the language, they took you into a strange place. I delivered you. I protected you. I've done everything I know to do. Have you ever looked at your youngin' and said, I've done everything I know to do for you and you won't listen? I've done everything I know to do for you. I'm at the end of my rope. I'm at the end of the line. I don't know what else to do. That's what God said right here. He said, I've done everything I know to do. He said, I've delivered you, I've fed you, I've protected you. I've made all the sacrifice that I know how to make. And then he gets down in verse number 11, and it's very sad words in the Word of God in 11 and 12. He said, but my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. It'd be just like you looking at your child and said, you ain't listening to a thing I'm saying. And when you do listen, you won't do what I asked you to do. I know that brings it down on a simple level. I'm not trying to simplify. I'm not trying to dumb down the Word of God. I'm just telling you, I believe our Heavenly Father is burdened just like we are burdened as earthly parents, as me being a father of children. I know, sometimes I get so frustrated and burdened and I say, why do I even bother? You ask my advice. You don't want it. Why do you even ask? I'm beginning to know what my wife's been telling me all these years. Why do you ask? You're going to do what you want to do anyway. I think I'm going to start telling my children that. Why are you bothering me? I got stuff to do. You're going to do what you want to do anyway. I find out a lot of times they ask my advice and they've already done it. That makes a whole lot of sense, don't it? But I see those things happening and I hear about things happening. I thought, did they not listen to anything I'm saying? That's what God said right here. He said, I've tried to tell them. They won't hearken. They're not listening. And He said, it's gotten to where now they won't have nothing to do with me. And by the way, the older you get, the more you're going to realize as your children grow up and start their own families, they don't have time for you. They're busy. You've got to understand that. Think about the way you treated your parents. You said, oh, yeah, you did. You know you did. Think about it, you did. See, what happened, what God's saying here, He said, I love my children, I provided for my children. He said, now they won't listen to me. And now, worse than that, it's one thing, they won't listen to me, now they won't have nothing to do with me. Look at what happens in verse number 12. He said, so I gave them up. That's what we're talking about these next couple of Sundays, is He gave them up. God said, I wanted you to listen to my counsel. And I wanted you to do what I asked you to do, but you not only ignored me, but you turned away from me. You said you didn't care, at least by your actions you say you don't care. You see, a lot of people say, well, I still love the house of God and I care about the house of God. Well, come. Right. You see, when you don't come to church like you're supposed to, you're telling God, I don't need none of you. I ain't got nothing to do with you. I don't need to have anything to do with you. I have people, sometimes I see people, it's amazing to me. I ain't never understood it, how somebody can not come to church for 8 months, 10 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. I talked to a lady, me and my wife did the other week, we talked to a lady, and she ain't been to church here in probably about 5 years, and she got to tell us how much she missed us, and why we didn't come see her anymore, and I won't tell me, why don't you come see me no more? I mean, you can get out and go do whatever you want to do. You ought to be right out to the church house every now and then. Right? And then this same person heard around and said, I ain't seen her, ain't been here. And she never was a member, never did join the church. She used to come faithfully, used to bring her grandson all the time. And she said, I still think you're my pastor. How can people think that I'm their pastor when I never see them? I mean, that'd be like somebody, a perfect stranger walking up to me and said, I still think you're my daddy. You ain't my angel. You ain't my youngin'. I don't know you. Right? By the way, that's what Jesus said is going to happen in that last day. He said, little all of them's going to say, Lord, Lord. He's going to say, I never knew you, right? Now look here. Let me try to get into where I'm going today now. He didn't say, now listen, I want you to understand this. He didn't say, I give up on them. You got that? Now, I've got children, you've got children, most everybody here has children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, somebody you really care about, really love. But you don't ever give up on them. Because you love them. They're yours no matter what they do. Now, you might as well just go ahead and swallow that pill. They're going to be yours. And you all they got most of the time. You say, well, they don't act like it. Well, they're young and dumb and stupid, and they're doing the best they can, I reckon. But he said, I didn't give up on you. God, in essence, is saying, okay, have it your way. Is that not right? He said, you tried it my way. You was provided for. You was protected. You was loved. But apparently that wasn't enough for you. You want to do it your way? Go ahead. You want to be your own judge? Go ahead. Now, this is where we stopped off at last week. Oh, tell me, have you ever tried to judge yourself? You'll never be totally honest because you want to think, I really ain't that bad. That's the problem in trying to judge yourself. We got real quiet right there. I believe I'm right about that. I mean, most people I know are not going to be perfectly honest with themselves because they don't want to see themselves in the light that they really are. But look here, he said, so I gave them up. I gave them up under their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsel. Let's talk about lust for just a minute. He gave them up to their own heart's lust. Now, you say, wait a minute, I don't like that word lust. Well, let me tell you what Webster says about lust. It says, a longing or desire, an eagerness to possess or enjoy. An eagerness to possess or enjoy. Now, if we go by the secular word there, we think about lust, our mind goes off somewhere nasty on the dark side. But you realize you can lust after a piece of pecan pie. You can lust after a hot dog all the way with jalapenos on it. I mean, a lot of things you can lust after because the definition is you have a longing for it, you desire it. But when's the last time we lusted after the things of God? Now, boy, that'd be a good lust, wouldn't it? Say, I just can't wait to get closer to God. I just can't wait to get to the house of God. I just can't wait to sing the songs. Can't wait to see my brothers and sisters in Christ. Oh, if I just get down to the house of God, I just can't wait to get down to the house of God. That's the way I am when it comes to coming to the house of God. That's the way it is when I go going to camp meeting time. That's the way it is when I go to revival time. Revival, somebody's having a revival somewhere. That's the way I am. I can't wait to get there. I mean, I just can't wait to get there. We went up to Taylorsville the other week. I couldn't wait to get there. I mean, I'm like a youngin' at Christmas time. I can't wait to get there. I mean, don't nobody better not have to go to the bathroom. Nobody better not say nothing about got to stop and get a biscuit. We're going to camp meeting. Y'all need a Pop-Tart and be quiet. We're going up the road. And then Diane said, honey, well, we're an hour early. I know, ain't it great? We're at camp meeting. She said, I thought all along we was going to be late the way you was acting. I said, we're going to camp meeting. I was lusting and longing and desiring to be around my people that I love and those folks that I hadn't seen in a year, some of them. And I tell you, whoa, I loved it. But let's think about lust in the bad sense for a little while. Have you ever said, boy, I sure do wish I could, and fill in the blank? Now, the nation of Israel said that. Tell you what, if we didn't have to live by all these rules and regulations, I'll tell you what I'd love to do. I'll tell you what I'd sure do if I had my... If I was in charge of this outfit, I'd tell you what I'd do. All them things like that, honey, that people said, God said, okay. Go ahead. I mean, that's what the Bible's telling us right there. He said, I gave them up to their own lust. He said, I said, well, you want to do it? Go ahead. Don't let me stop you. How many of you just said, boy, I wish I could sleep for days? Some of y'all still be in the bed this morning if you got your way, amen? I just, boy, I wish I was with this one or that one and fill in the blank. If I only had fill in the blank or this or that or fill in the blank, if I only had, boy, I wish I could, if I could only. God says, that's what you want, go ahead. I've tried to restrain you, but you wouldn't hear none of it. He said, I've tried to guide you and help you. You wouldn't hear none of it. That's right. Amen. You ever tried, you guide your children, don't you? As they grow up, you guide them. Right. You know, we start off when they're little. I'd probably get in trouble. I'd probably be in the jailhouse. I'd probably be in the jailhouse forever if I was had youngins these days. Wouldn't I? Probably. But I used to walk them and, you know, I don't plead with my youngins and beg them to do stuff. I get them around the neck like this and guide them. That's probably wrong, I know. It'd be all right. You can disagree with me. I don't care. You squeeze them in that arm, that little thing right there, you get your fingers digging in there enough, they'll do most anything you want them to do. But I will guide them and lead them. And I still today, I so want to tell them, you know, you're making a mistake. Don't do that. Don't do that. But see, they're old enough now. They don't want none of me. They don't want to hear. They really don't want to hear what I got to say because, you know, I got two of them that's got men telling them what to do. Little boys telling them what to do. And they don't want none of me. They don't want my advice anymore. Now, of course, they're doing just like every race. You know, you try to do what your husband says do. Right? Amen. Come on now. Y'all help me. Don't everybody dry up on me now. We get talking about lust. We get nervous in the house of God. You say, I'm doing all right on that lust thing. He talked about them hot dogs and that pecan pie now. But God's saying, if that's what you want to do, go ahead. That's what it means. He gave them up to their own lust. He said, you want to do? Go ahead. Just go crazy and wild as you want to go. I tried to help you. I tried to restrain you. You wouldn't listen to me. I wonder how many people today in America woke up this morning. It's a Sunday morning. Woke up this morning. Didn't know where they was when they woke up. Come on now. Didn't know who they was with when they woke up. Didn't know what happened to all their paycheck when they woke up. Don't know who's got their car when they woke up. Don't even know if they got a home to go back to when they woke up because of what they did last night. We live in an unrestrained society today and an unrestrained world, and I see it, I believe, many times begin to creep into the church because we see what God said right there. He said they would none of me. He said, I tried to tell them, they wouldn't listen, and they would none of me. Used to be a time in America, when the house of God would be full on Sunday morning. Nobody ever gave it a second thought, did they? I never give it a second thought. I never woke up on Sunday morning and asked my mom, did it, we going to go to church today? We knew we was going to go to church. There's a lot of reasons we knew we was going to go to church. One was all our church clothes was hung up and lined up for us to get into when we got up in the morning. I do not ever remember as a little boy looking for those shoes. Because you don't have to look far when you only got two pairs. I had a good friend, his wife were up there at the camp meeting the first week. And the second week, their grandson was with them. He was with them, but he wasn't staying in the same motel room with them. And Dylan, the grandson, was going to stay over the next week because he didn't have to work, and his grandparents had to go back, but he got to stay. And I asked him, he's about, 19, 20 years old now, I guess. And I said, hey, big boy. I said, he's a big guy. I said, hey, big boy, who's going to watch after you next week? He said, nobody. He said, nobody's been watching after me this week. I said, I'll ask your grandmother about that. No, don't, preacher. Please don't. But we left out of the dining hall at lunchtime one day, and he was out there with some other teenage boys playing football, and all of them had their church clothes on now. I said, Dylan, go home and put your play clothes on. But I've heard that as a child growing up. Put your play clothes on. You only got one nice set of church clothes. Put your play clothes on. But it says right there, he said, I gave them up to their own heart's lust. What this deepest, what's in your heart's what you're going to go after. You realize that? What's in your heart's what you're going to go after. You say, well, I want to be rich. I want to be rich more than anything else. Well, that's what you'll go after. See, I want fame and fortune. That's what you'll go after. You know what ought to be in your heart this morning? I want to get as close to God as I can, preacher. I want what God, I want to hate what God hates, and I want to love what God loves, and when God hurts, I want to hurt. That's what you ought to be. Amen. But he said, let me get off of that lust. That'll help you a little bit. And it says, and they walked in their own counsels. In other words, they walked in their own counsels. They did exactly what they wanted to do. Well, now you say that's lust. No, it's different. Lust is what's in your heart. That's what you're going to go after. But when you walk in your own counsel, that means you're totally unrestrained. If you started off to work in the morning and folks around you are driving 80 and 90 and 100 miles an hour, and I know we still see that some. Folks are running red lights, stop signs, we see that some. Folks are standing in line just up right in front of you, run into your car, run into you, bump into you, cuss you out. We see some of those things. But what if there were no restraints? What if there were no more goodness to stir you to want to try to do good and do right? When God gives up a people over to their own counsel, that's what happens. He said, you want to judge yourself? Go ahead. You want to do what you want to do? Go ahead. He said, I've tried to help you. I've tried to restrain you. I've tried to keep you from getting in trouble. I've tried to help you out. But look at where you are now. Now, I wonder how many people this morning woke up in jailhouse and said, boy, I tell you what, I wish I had to listen to the laws and the rules, and I wish I had to realize that there was restraints upon my life that I thought I could just do what I wanted to do. How many people down in the penitentiary in Raleigh today would say, boy, I tell you what, I wish I had to listen to Mama when Mama told me don't hang around with that crowd down there. I wish I listened to that old preacher when he said, you need to stay away from that alcohol and you need to stay away from that dope and you need to try to live right, do what your mama says and try to honor your father and mother. I wish I'd have done that. I bet you'd find a bunch in that category today. I don't believe you'd have to look very long. Just about everybody I ever locked up, if they would talk to you and they'd be honest, they'd tell you the greatest mistake they ever made was when they would not listen and hearken to their own counsel of their parents. And many of those children are raised in Christian homes, so in other words, they would not hearken to what God was telling them. And that's what we see, I believe. Now, I talk a lot about the world, but I believe the world is creeping into the church. And we see people in the house of God say, no, nobody, preacher ain't going to tell me what to do. Preacher ain't going, I tell you what, he ain't going to tell me what to do. Well, that's fine. You don't have to listen to what I say do. You don't. But if I tell you what God says in His Word right there, you ought to take a little attention to that. If I was to say, I tell you what, God don't love you if you ain't got cowboy boots. you write me off. I'm an idiot. If I said, I tell you what, men, if you got any pink socks at your house, then you must be effeminate. Write me off. I'm a nut. Right? Now, y'all know what I'm talking about. There's some people out there that's crazy. I mean, just, I don't know a nice way to say it. They're just crazy. They're nuts. They're lunatics. There's a fringe in our independent Baptist movement like that today. They're just crazy. I had somebody the other day, they said something about, you got any questions about our organization? I said, oh no, how y'all feel about cowboy boots? Oh, we think it's all right. I said, good, I'm in with y'all in. But there's some places today still that they don't like a preacher wear cowboy boots. They don't like you wear a shirt that's not white. I got white shirts. I don't always wear white shirts. I'm really not that fond of white, really, myself. But it's fine. Amen. Now, when God gives a people over to their own counsel, that's what happens. Unrestrained. No restraint. When I drive through Hillsboro, when I get right there at the Southern Pride Car Wash, I start slowing down from 35 to 30. You know why? Because the speed limit changes right there at Bob Lloyd's old store. When I get down there to the little church on the left-hand side going back through town, I start slowing down from 30 to 20. You know why? Because when I get to the next intersection, it goes to 20 miles an hour. Why do I do that? Because Hillsboro's a stinking speed trap. That's why. When I go by the Cabin Park School, I do not run 25, I run 20. You know why? Hillsboro's a speed trap. I still can't drive 35 and 40 miles an hour down 78, because for years it was a speed trap. Now they increase the speed limit. I still drive under the speed limit. Why do you do that, preacher? I'm restrained by the law. Why do we try to live right? We're restrained by the law. I have a greater fear of God's law than I do man's law. It'd do us good to say, well, let's see what God's law says about it. Now, I'm going to close, because I can't get into part two. Not keep y'all here to 1:30. I ain't going to do that. But I'm not done yet. So don't get excited. Be like them little youngins in camp meeting said, is it over yet? Is it over yet? CJ said, he said, I have figured out when this church starts. Like that. He was real proud of himself. I have figured out when this church starts. Every time when they go in there, Brother Steve says, testing 1-2, testing 1-2. He said, when that man gets up there and says, testing 1-2, it's time for church to start. But he soon learned there's no way to figure out when church is over. Amen. Now, I told you at the beginning, there's three steps away from God. Anytime you go away from God, it's always a downward walk. Remember I said if we can imagine in our mind three steps going down, the first step is hard-headedness and stiff-necked. That's what we just talked about. That's what God said about His people. He said, I tried to tell them, but they would not listen to me. They made their own decisions. There wasn't no way to get around it. They had done made up their mind they was going to do what they was going to do no matter what. What my mama used to say, bust hell wide open. He's going to do what he wants to do. Y'all ever said that about your youngest? Now, if this is close to God, and I begin to step away from God, it's real easy to go one step back up. It's real easy to say, look, I've been hard-headed, I've been stiff-necked, couldn't nobody tell me nothing, but I realize now I was wrong and God is right, I'm going to get back close to God. Now you already know this, but the farther you go down these three steps, the harder it is going to be to turn around and go back. So I'm going to ask you in closing this morning while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Are you in danger of hearing God say, I'm going to let you try it your way. I'm just going to give up on you for a while. I'm going to give you over to your own ideas and your own ideals. You want to judge yourself, you go ahead and help yourself, because you won't listen to me. God's been calling out to you to stop. He's been begging you to stop. He's dealt with you. He's dealt with you many times to get saved, and you've rejected Him. You've heard the Word of God. You've rejected the Word of God. How much longer is He going to deal with you before He says, okay, have it your way? You're here today, this morning, you say, I'm saved, preacher, I know I'm saved, but God's been dealing with me, but I've been rejecting Him. He's been trying to tell me some things in my life, and I just keep pushing it aside, pushing it aside, pushing it aside.